Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. Definitely check out the Canary Cry Radio program if you haven't already. It's definitely worth a download and a listen. Also, the Revelations Radio News episode with James the Canadian guy is now out with Tim Kilkenny and Andrew Hoffman. They're doing that. I haven't gotten to listen to the whole episode yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to hearing the history of the Revelations Radio Network, even though I've been here since the beginning. Definitely going to be awesome to hear, because I ended up missing a good chunk of, I think it was 2009, 2010, one of those years there, that I was down on my heart there, that I had the trouble with the health issue, and I wasn't able to get a podcast out for a little while. And when I come back, the network was completely different. I mean, a whole lot of change. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what he has to say about that, and hearing about, you know, a lot of the history that I missed out on. So definitely give that listen anytime. Tim and especially Tim and James get together, that's something worth listening to right there. That's going to be something that, you know, is going to be good. So those two guys are a car. I love those two guys. They cut up all the time. And they're a lot of fun, so definitely check out that interview. Also, I want to say I'm not recording on my usual equipment here. I probably obvious by now, but I'm having to work with some equipment that is not optimal for my situation. Hopefully, by the next podcast, we'll have everything sorted back out, and we'll have back to our normal equipment and, you know, my regular microphone and all that, and I won't have to be recording on a little rinky-dink laptop, and hopefully everything will be hammered out. But as I'm going through the situation I'm going through, you know, the circumstances mandate a different approach this particular episode, so that's what we're going with. And I want to thank everybody that's been sending out the prayers and the well wishes and the love and the support to me over this major life change that I'm going through right now. And it is pretty much confirmed to be a major life change, and that's just the way it is. And I'm kind of going to have to figure out how to deal with it and get through it. And I know the good Lord brought me to it. He'll bring me through it. And I know if I just listen to Him and lean on Him instead of my own understanding, that, you know, not only will I come through it, but I will come through it with growth, and I'll come through it, and I'll be better off for it. So, I mean, if this is where God wills my life to go, then all I can do is walk and try my best to follow Him all I can. So I definitely thank you, though, for the love and the support. Definitely keep it coming. I could use all the support you can need. I mean, it's a scary time to be dealing with some of these issues right now, and I mean, though I still, you know, I can talk big sometimes, it's still, you know, it's a hard situation to go through, and, you know, I'm doing my best with it, and I just thank you guys for the support. You really just mean the best to me, the most to me, because you guys are the most awesome audience anywhere. I don't care what anybody says, I'll put y'all up against anybody. You take them down, whoop them backstreet dog style. Anyway. Okay, before I start all talking all redneck on y'all, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Today's episode is entitled Christian Job Description. We're going to be talking about something that applies to all Christians. That is what we should be doing in our roles as believers. It isn't often enough, I think, that Christians in general think about what we should be doing. It's easy to lose touch with a job description for a Christian because there's so much going on in the world, And frankly, we're all really busy these days, right? We all got this going on and that going on, and Timmy's soccer practice and ballet lessons, and we got to get to the team softball, and then we have a power meeting, and, you know, we've all got all this business going on, and the Johnson account is due, and we got to get that done. And, you know, well, that dog won't hunt, my friends. So let's look at those things that have to be a part of our work as Christians, okay? You got to take care of some of these issues. You cannot just say, oh, well, Lord, I was too busy with the Johnson account and Timmy's soccer practice. It's not going to work. You know, that's not acceptable. We have to take certain things and make sure that we do them as Christians. The first requirement of being a Christian that we're going to look at is obedience. You know, this is part of a job description that is a vital part of being a believer or even becoming one. If you're rebellious, well, you're not likely to be seeking a Christian to be a Christian in the first place. We can see the greatest example of obedience through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ was so obedient that he willingly gave his life in that obedience, and gave his life in a way that is, you know, a very horrifying way to die. Crucifixion is hardcore, folks. You know, it's not like, you know, humane things we got going on today. Christ was obedient to a terrible death, to a death that was not, you know, quick and easy and painless and made to be, you know, like our capital punishment system is in America nowadays. No, it wasn't like that. He went through some bad stuff to do and was obedient through that bad stuff. So then we shall be obedient as well, even to our death, if that's what it takes. Now, another example we can take from the life of Christ, and we can take many, but we're just going to go over a few here. But another example we can take from the life of Christ is found in Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now here Jesus allowed for the will of God the Father to be the important factor. He shows us how to be truly obedient by making a petition, but asking that God the Father's will be what happens. He said, this is what I want, but what's really important is what you want, Father. And that, let that happen. Let that be what is be. If we're in agreement, then great. If we're not, then you're the boss. That's kind of what he's saying there. Let God the Father's will be done above all things. Another example will begin in the same vein we can see from Jesus is in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10. This is we're probably all familiar with. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So there we have some rock solid examples from Christ himself, okay? Now let's look at another group of people, the Philippians, okay? Now this is going to be kind of our primary verse we're going to be working from here a little bit. Our foundational verses we do sometimes. When Paul wrote to these people, he noted their obedience. Look at Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the Philippians were said to have always obeyed, which is the way all Christians should act. Wouldn't it be a great thing for us modern Christians to be eligible for such a statement? And not for our own glory, but for the glory of the Lord alone, that His children might be obedient to His voice and live that obedience in their lives and be noted for it, not to our glory, but to His. You know, that they say, man, that God must do something. That God must be really about something, because look at His followers here. Look at His children. He says in the Bible to do this, and they do it. You know, maybe we need to check this guy out. Maybe we need to see what this is all about. You know, that's the kind of obedience we need to live in our lives, to where we're a testament to God, not only through our words, but also through our actions. The Philippians obeyed the word of God when Paul was with them, and he is encouraging them to continue their obedience even in his absence. The point being that even when there isn't someone of authority in the vicinity, we need to be faithful and obey. For some reason, there are those that would rather play than work and would easily depart from obedience to the first sign that no one is watching. Now, the obvious problem there is that we're never truly alone, nor is there ever truly a moment when we're not being watched. But we should be willing to be obedient, not because the preacher is watching or because even God is watching, but because it's the right thing to do. We need to set ourselves being true to God, and ultimately, by doing so, ourselves, by following the rules God has provided for us. Obedience brings right living. If you are doing what you're supposed to do, then you're going to be living in a godly manner, and that in itself is a huge blessing. Obedience is a critical layer in one's Christian life, in one's life, period. You know, obedience to God is a critical layer. When laid on a layer of faith, it helps make the foundation for all the other things that comes in a Christian's life, like charity, hope, good works, along with just general living. Okay, this is the foundation on which all our lives are built. A layer of faith and a layer of obedience is definitely part of the foundation we need to lay for the groundwork of our lives. Now this brings us to the next job requirement for a Christian, good works. Let's refer to our main verse again. Oh, okay, actually, I want to refer to a different verse real quick here. If you are a Christian, you need to work. That's just the way it is. We all need to make sure that we have something to show for our faith. It is the fruits of the faith that produces what makes faith evident, okay? That's what makes faith evident, is the fruits of the faith that is produced when we do good works. Here's a verse on the working for the Lord that I want to look at here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this is not working for merit, as in some way of proving worthy of heaven, because that is an unattainable level. You can't do that. You cannot earn your way into heaven by deeds on earth or by any other measure. We are saved by grace, as we see in Ephesians 2:8, and it is the gift of God. Now, this is not work to prove worth or somehow impress God. This is instead work that is in service to God, the works of obedience, and the practical applications of our faith. If you believe, do. That is the basics of it. If you believe what you believe, then you need to do what that faith believes. Because that faith says that you need to have good works along as well with your faith. So if you really believe the Bible, if you really believe Christianity, then you need to do. There is a certain level of doing involved. For James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is why it's important to do the works of obedience, to do the things that make your faith evident and glorify God. In fact, because of this and other verses, doing good works is also a sign of obedience, because that's what you're told to do. What should this work be? Well, this is partially between you and God, but there are always great examples. You can help the poor, you can look after the widow, you can tend to the sick. All these things are great outreaches for a person to attend to. You can, and also should, preach the gospel of Christ each and every time you can. There's also a myriad of different ministries you can assist, or even directly establish yourself if you're so inclined. Just do something, anything, that your faith might not be dead for lack of works. You know, so a lot of that you can take up with God and ask Him to lead you to what He would have you do. You know, you are outfitted and prepared for God, and God knows what you're going to do and what He wants you to do and how things should be. So ask Him to lead you to the works that you would be fit for. Maybe you are really good at working with children. There's definitely opportunities to serve God in that. Maybe you're good at working with the elderly. There's definitely opportunities to say that. I've come out of doing that myself. Maybe you have opportunities to work with the impoverished, or maybe you're really good with dealing with the homeless people, or dealing with the less fortunate, or dealing with prison ministries, or dealing with any number of things, you know, whether it be missions in foreign lands to passing out sandwiches in your local park. You know, there's any number of things you can do. But do something. If you believe, do. Okay? Next up in our requirements is that a Christian needs to work reverently. You need to do the work, but you need to keep in mind just who you are working for. And that would be God Almighty. And the work needs to be approached with a proper reverence. With our base verse, this is what we get from the fear and trembling part at the end, you know, where you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You need to have, this may be an unusual application of the particular verse, but to me it also speaks that we need to work reverently. We need to be taking this very seriously, what we're doing. The word used for fear in the Greek is phobos, and does mean fear, but it is where we get our word phobia and associated derivatives from, but according to Thayer's dictionary, a secondary meaning can be reverent behavior. Possibly extremely reverent behavior. I think another way we could look at it is cautious. I think the idea here is something like this old saying that we have down south. I ain't afraid of something, but I do respect it. You know, I ain't afraid of bees, but I do respect bees because I don't want to get stung. You know, I ain't afraid of that dog, but I respect that dog because I don't want to get bit. You know, we have this particular issue to where we deal with an issue, and it may not cause us a fear as in a runaway kind of screaming fear, but a fear that inspires a certain level of respect, a certain level of cautiousness, a certain level of reverence, almost. It's this idea of, you know, I'm going to treat this thing respectfully because I don't want to get messed up by it. You know, dealing with the things of God with the respect they deserve. That includes the works you do for the Lord. If you work in a spirit that is not what we could call God-fearing, then you're likely going to be irreverent, and really you're going to end up shooting yourself in the foot. Be like cursing, you know, be cursing like it's nothing while you try to witness. Try that out. See how that works. No, don't try that out. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't really mean that at all. Don't try that out. don't have a proper frame of mind for the serious and important work you're doing, and you're going to end up in a bad way. Being effective at best and doing harm instead of good at worst. You know, you go around saying, you know, oh, bleep this and blank that, and you're trying to tell somebody about God, you're going to be barking up the wrong tree, folks. You're going to give them an impression that you don't want to give them at worst, and just completely turn them off at best. You're not going to get anywhere with that. No one ever jumps in and says, well, bleepity, blankety, bleep. That just clicks, you know. I mean, nobody ever does that. You know, they expect a reverence to be shown in your life and in your actions, because deep down they know that this is talking about God, and it should be something that is dealt with reverence. I think all human beings have an inherent understanding that when speaking of principles of the Almighty, that we should have a respect, even if they are disrespectful to the idea of God. I think deep down there's an inbred, maybe it's a social thing, maybe it's a, I don't know, I think it's something deeper than that. I think it's just a part of the human condition, I think, to have an inherent respect, or at least an inherent reverence of the things dealing with the Almighty. Because, you know, at first, when you first deal with the issue of God, you know, I just think he just put something in our hearts to help us. And a lot of that is to be respectful about it. So I don't think you're going to be very effective if you don't have the right frame of mind. Okay, so we need to only work to make sure we don't have the wrong frame of mind. And if you're down at the soup kitchen at the mission trying to do your business, and you know you're a married man and you're hitting on people or disconnecting yourself in an unchristian-like manner, you're reflecting on yourself and you're reflecting on your God. And they're going to see your behavior, and like I said, all the good that you're doing with the actual work itself is being negated because of your lack of reverence. You know, and if you're working for God, act like God is your boss. You know, act like it. Okay? Next thing we need to do is make sure that we work confidently for God. It would be easy to say this, that this whole talk of working seriously might cause some to have the jitters and not want to work for God because it seems too hard or the like, but we cannot allow that line of thought into our minds. You know, you need to be confident in what you do. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both the will to do good to, let me start over on that one. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Take comfort and know that if you work and do so reverently, that it is God that works through you. Not only that, but it pleases him that you are obedient. Notice here too that the implication of the verse and the previous. In the last verse we read where we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, in this verse it says that God works in us to his will. In other words, we can do our part and God is going to do his. We are not left alone in this situation. God is indeed with us, especially when we start meeting our job requirements and do those things we are called to do. In other words, you're not left out on your own. You're not left alone. God does not abandon you. God does not turn his back on you, especially when you're out there, you know, hustling it and doing what you need to do and getting business taken care of. That is definitely a situation where God is going to be with you. Let's go down a little bit further in Philippians and see the next requirement, Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, what is this saying to us? We must work willingly. If you aren't willing, then what's the point? So many complain about the works they must do today, and they say that God wants too much of them. This is a foolish outlook, for Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God never asks more of us than we can give. He never asks probably half of what we can give. To complain is also to be disobedient, and that's a violation of our first requirement. So no matter what you do, complaining is just a good way to make sure you do it wrong and completely blow it. Maybe I'm a bit naive, but I've yet to see someone that complains about doing a job actually do the task well. Most of the time, it's only done with the least possible effort so that the rest of their energy can be spent flapping their lips and complaining. This is also a violation of the requirement to work reverently and with respect. Do all things with proper God-fearing attitude and don't complain about it. If you're going to complain about it, just don't do it. You know, I mean, maybe you need to find something else or something, or you need an attitude adjustment or something. But, you know, you're not helping yourself any if you're complaining and disputing and murmuring and carrying on and going crazy. Alright, so next up is we need to work inoffensively. What do I mean by that? Well, no one is perfect, and sometimes those imperfections are a part of us and end up marring the works we do for God. Philippians 2:15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We need to make sure we lead a life that does not allow fingers of criticism to be pointed at us, okay? We need to make sure that we are following the Word of God as closely as possible. If we aren't and are doing bad things in our lives, then the works we do might seem as tainted. You know, think about it. If you're always out drinking and getting drunk, and you try to speak about temperance to someone that knows that side of you, you're going to look like a hypocrite. They are no more likely to hear your words, even if you are speaking Bible-based truth. They're just going to say, man, who are you to tell me? You know, or you're going to cause them to think, oh, man, you're just a hypocrite. You don't know what you're talking about. Or you can't even live what you're talking about. So, you know, how dare you preach to me? No matter what work you do, if you do so when you're known to be an adulterer or a thief or some other bad thing, people will not be inclined to listen to you. The end of that verse we just read also said that we should stand out in the midst of the world and shine as lights. Lights do not have dark spots, or they are not truly lights. We must live our lives to where there are no dark spots that the world can use to hold against us, and by extension, to hold against God. Because a lot of times what they hold against us is also something they'll hold against God, or try to use against God as they go through their lives and their rejections of God. They'll say, well, look at the person you sent me. This person was a hypocrite. You know, what does that say? And they'll try to use that, and then the devil will whisper in your ear, look, see, God isn't serious because look at what he did. Look at the person he used. Look at the hypocrisy that's being presented here. And then you end up shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to working for God. Living a godly life is also a sign of change, a sign of the difference God has made into us in our lives. In other words, while working blamelessly, not only do you keep from looking like a hypocrite, you can manifest the positive aspects of the faith in your lives for others to see. So if we avoid looking hypocritical, we will naturally then show the amazing power of God in our lives, and that in itself is a testament. It speaks. Live your life so that you don't have to say anything. Live your life so God speaks out through your living. So not only does working blamelessly and being a shining light help prevent others from thinking the gospel to be hypocritical, it can actually serve to attract others to the message of Christ because they see the powerful manifestations of God in our lives. They look at our lives and say, man, what's got them on so much? You know, there's something good going on for them, and I'm wondering what the deal is. And then when you live a godly life and you speak godly words, then they know, they're going to say, well, that God's got something going on. Maybe I should look into it. Maybe I should consider Christ. And then, my friends, you're on a journey. And then, you know, that's where we're heading. That's what we want people to do. We want people to open, start opening their hearts and say, wait a minute, these people have influenced me to consider Christ. These people have influenced me to think, what's the big deal? Well, you know, what is so important in their lives? What has made such a positive change and influence on them? Maybe that's something I'm interested in too, because that's getting the door open. That's where we want to go, folks. That's how we're serving God, is helping win over the hearts and minds. You also must work steadfastly. You have to be consistent in your work. It's not something you should do today and then not do again for several years. In fact, the work needs to be something you look to on a daily basis. The reason for such urgency is firstly because we don't know how long we have. Death can come and claim us at any moment. You might not see tomorrow. You know, you might not make it to dinner tonight. I mean, considering where you're at, you know. Right, I made dinner tonight, but I may not make my midnight snack, or I may not make morning. Right, because of that, we must work with all diligence and urgency. Because of diligence, is that even a word? I don't know, Robin. It's late at night, we're going to roll with it, alright? Even if our death is not something that is quickly approaching, there is no promise that this whole world will be around for much longer. We are barreling headlong into the end times. How long until the final showdown, I cannot say, nor can anyone else on earth. But many prophecies mentioned as signs of the end times are starting to come to pass. I honestly believe that it's more than possible that the end will come within my natural lifetime. So we should all work with all our mights, because we don't know when our end will come and when it will be, or when the ultimate end will come. So we have our own personal lives to end, and the end of days, both barreling down upon us, that we need to be aware of and Neither one of them are we sure exactly when they're going to show up, so we need to be prepared and work diligently and fast as possible at all times, because we don't know what's coming. Finally, the last requirement we're going to talk about today is the requirement that we work cheerfully. Be happy while you work, knowing that the Lord is pleased through your obedience, and so therefore be happy as well. There's no reason not to be. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right there we have got all we need to be glad about. God has given us this day. He has given us all the wonders of creation to our benefit. He has given us life and He has given us love. These are all great reasons to feel gladness and rejoice. Even when life seems to get you down. And believe me, right now I know about life getting you down. Remember the birds are singing, the grass is green. Be happy. It's going to be a hard thing. I know I'm sad at times myself, you know, especially in the current situation I'm dealing with. I have my moments here. But we need to remember that God loves us and that by itself is so awesomeness beyond words. What more do you need than the love of God? I mean, that is just, let alone all the gifts He has given us through the beauty of nature. What is there to be sad for? God has sent His Son for us. Sin and death and hell are defeated. The good Lord loves us and we have been given the gift of life. Not only life, but the life where we can live and love God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit upon his stature? He means by worrying, who can change anything by worrying? No one can. Therefore, just rejoice in the Lord and let the worries take care of themselves. Right? Just be happy for God. Alright, so let's wrap it up. God has given us work to do, folks. Work that needs to be done with reverence, with confidence, and it needs to be done willingly. It also needs to be done inoffensively, steadfastly, and cheerfully. If we will work ourselves with these particular attributes, we will find that God will enrich our lives through His glory, and us glorifying Him, that will enrich our life. He will bless us because we're glorifying Him. We're living obedience to Him. We're doing what He wants. We're taking care of business. You know, God's going to look down and say, all right, this is awesome. You know, keep rocking it. You know, good job. And, you know, we'll be giving all the glory to the Lord, and that's what it's all about, you know. The whole thing of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Well, there's His command right there. We're talking about getting the work done. So let's get to work, folks. Until next time, I guess I'll see you out in the fields. God bless.